Federal agencies finally beat the government-wide goal of awarding at least 5% of all eligible contracts to women-owned small businesses. It took place in 2015. It's about time. It's the first time they've met that mark since Congress made it the law back in 1994. John Shorica is Associate Administrator of Government Contracting and Business Development at the Small Business Administration. He tells Executive Editor Jason Miller about how agencies continue to increase the number of contracts going to all small business.
There's a lot of things that the administration has done to institutionalize the success. Keeping senior leadership accountable, having the OSDBU directors, the Office of Small and Disadvantaged Business Utilization, report to senior leadership. Those types of things are now gaining traction and are creating an environment where small business procurement is sort of on the front burner now as opposed to the back burner. So I suspect that this trend will continue. Obviously, the question becomes, how much further can we grow when it comes to small business? But certainly we see that somewhere around the 25% range is a trend that should continue.
One of the things about small business contracting is over the years, administrations, whether Democrat or Republican, has given the lip service, you know, small business are the engines that run the economy. But then so many of the contracts and so many of the things that happen in the procurement community end up going against small businesses or making it harder for small businesses. Do you get a sense that this is a combination of, as you mentioned, the senior accountability, the focus from leadership, but also maybe some of the rules that were put in place over the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years, you're starting to see some benefits from them?
Absolutely. I think as the administrator mentioned today and Congresswoman Velasquez mentioned today, there's been a very close relationship and bipartisan relationship when it comes to small business procurement. The Hill has put out some legislation, some very helpful legislation to help level the playing field, and us as an administration, the Small Business Administration, has worked to implement the rules to make that legislation effective, and I think you are seeing the fruits of that.
Let's talk about the women-owned small business goal. First time since 1994, 21 years. They mentioned the women-owned small business procurement program. What do you kind of attribute some of that success to getting that 5% goal?
The program was established in statute in 2000. It was in 2011 when the program became effective, but you're right, it started gaining traction and significantly making an impact on meeting the goal this past year. But there's been a lot of changes. So we knew we had a program that wasn't perfect, right? It had caps on contracts. There wasn't a sole source provision. It had a reduced number of NAICS codes or industries where contracts could be set aside. We worked with the Hill closely to remove some of those restrictions. And I think, again, we're seeing the fruits of that labor to help us meet the 5% goal.
Do you get a sense as you look across the 36 new categories where women are considered underserved? What has to come from that? Because that study has just seemed to be finished in recently. What does SBA have to do for that?
Based on the study, as you mentioned, our administrator asked to reanalyze, and she commissioned the study to reanalyze industries where women-owned small businesses were underserved. We worked with Commerce, the Economists of Commerce, and there is a study that was published or presented to the Hill in January. Based on the study, the NAICS codes are expanding from 83 to 113. Those additional NAICS codes represent another $39 billion in potential opportunity for women-owned small businesses. And I think that will create a lot of opportunities and will create an opportunity to even exceed the 5% goal.
Does SBA have to do anything to expand the number of NAICS codes women are eligible now for set-asides? Is there new rules or new regulations that are coming? Or is it just, hey, these NAICS codes are now added to the list?
There will be a federal register notice that comes out tomorrow, the 3rd, which will list the additional NAICS codes. In fact, it'll list all the NAICS codes, the 113 NAICS codes. And this afternoon, our website will be updated to include all the NAICS codes.
Looking forward, I mean, when you look at other things that are happening around small business, how do you keep the momentum going? Because you 3 straight years, it's easy to, you know, people can take a step back and be like, okay, we did it. Let's turn our focus to something else. From an SBA perspective, how do you keep the momentum going to continue to get small businesses more heavily involved in federal procurement?
Well, I think there's two parts. One is senior leadership accountability, and I think that's been happening, and I think it will continue to happen. But I think casting a broader net is important as well. And we have been given authority to expand the Mentor Protege program, not only from the 8A program, but to all small businesses. And in the 8A world, the Mentor Protege program has created a lot of opportunities for new nascent companies to partner with a mentor and pursue larger and more complex contracts. And expanding that program to all small businesses should help us cast a broader net.
The mentor protege, the timing of that, I know that it was a proposed rule or final rules in the works. Give me a sense of when you hope to have something out.
The final rule should be published this summer, should be effective sometime this summer. We're thinking June, July. And we hope to actually launch the program in some limited fashion for all small businesses to be able to participate in a mentor protege program by the end of this summer 2016.
And it's not just a mentor protege program at DOD or NASA, but it's across government too.
Absolutely. This is a mentor protege program across the federal government for all agencies to participate in.
One of the big challenges SBA has had around small business contracting is the definition of eligible versus non-eligible in terms of contract dollars. I know the House Small Business Committee has legislation, and they're trying to get it in the National Defense Authorization Bill for 2016 as well. That would require SBA maybe to change the way they look at how they count the goal totals and achievements. I know you can't comment on the legislation specifically, but what are some of the things you guys are doing to kind of help alleviate maybe some of those concerns on Capitol Hill?
You're absolutely right. When we talk about eligible contract dollars, there has been historically exclusions. And we as an administration, when we came in, we wanted to make sure that we counted apples to apples to apples. So we hesitated to mess with the exclusions. But the National Defense Authorization Act of 2013 actually authorized us and required us to take another look at those exclusions. In 2014, we put leases back. Leases had been excluded. This year, as we are finalizing goals for agencies, so for the 2016 period, another big category which had historically been excluded has been included, and that's the overseas contracts. Contracts performed overseas are now included in the base, and agencies will be held accountable to that.
Do you get a sense that there are certain contracts that will never be included? If DOD buys a tank or a ship, is that a true measure of whether small business can compete? Or do you think it's better off from a government perspective to include everything, and then you really do get a better sense of whether it's 25% of $444 billion or 25% of $360 billion?
No, I think that's a very fair question. I think it should include as much as feasibly possible, right? There are certain instances where the government will purchase an F-16 for, let's say, a foreign government. In those instances, the contracting officer doesn't have any discretion to buy from a small business. So those will continue to be excluded. But I think the broader that base can be, the more fair, accurate representation of small business participation we have.
The data issues always come up, whether the numbers are accurate, whether the information coming from agencies. I know it's kind of maybe a little bit outside of SBA's realm because it falls maybe to GSA to a certain extent. Are you guys working to ensure that the data about small business contracting is as accurate as possible? Are there certain things you guys are doing?
Yeah, absolutely. We, probably about 3 years ago, instituted a data quality working group along with GSA and initially conducted anomalies. And anomalies aren't errors, they are potential errors in every year's data set. And we shared those with all the agencies. We gave them an opportunity to fix those. As we moved forward, we created standalone reports for agencies to run on a quarterly basis, and those are housed at FBDS. Agencies will run those quarterly. And at the end of the year, when they certify their numbers to Office of Federal Procurement Policy, not only do they certify the accuracy of their numbers, overall numbers, but they certify the accuracy of their small business numbers. But in addition to that, even though it's the agency's requirement, our administrator has specifically asked us to run anomaly reports on an annual basis on the top 10 spenders and share it with the agencies before the numbers are locked down. So we've continued to do that year in, year out. So I would say that this certainly is the best data set we've had in history. Is there potential for error? I think when you have millions and millions of transactions every year, there's potential for error. Is it the cleanest data that we've had? I think because of our efforts, it is the cleanest data that we've had.
There's been success with small disadvantaged businesses. There's been success with service-disabled veteran-owned businesses. HubZone's the big outlier here now, about 1.9% for total out of a 3% goal. What are you guys doing around HubZone? What are you doing around service-disabled looking forward?
Around in the hub zone, that has been a difficult category for us to achieve the goal on. We lost a large number of our hub zone firms because of the census data in 2010. And as you know, hub zone areas are based to a large extent on census data. And after we lost a third of our portfolio in 2010, which actually became effective because there was a three-year grandfather period, became effective in 2013, the performance went significantly down. We've done a lot of outreach in the last couple of years, not only to firms, but to our sister agencies, to educate and train contracting officers around the HubZone program, and also to get into our HubZone portfolio qualified and contract-ready contractors. We look at the HubZone program not only as a contracting program, but as an economic development tool for local jurisdictions to benefit from, to use as an economic development tool to bring in small businesses, to raise the economic levels in their jurisdictions and employment. And we have initiated what we call Destination Hub. We're doing events with the partnership of local jurisdictions to bring in economic development folks to understand the program and really take advantage and implement the programs at a very local, granular level.
And for service-disabled veteran-owned businesses, again, there's a lot of success here beating the 3% goal, but again, how do you make sure it doesn't step back for the next year and the year after?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of education that has to take place in that area. I think one of the areas is making sure that the community, the contracting community and the small business community in particular, understands the federal government service-disabled veteran-owned small business program as compared to the VA. Front-end certification program that's only for the VA. So there's a lot of education that's necessary there. I think we've got good momentum. I think the president's focus through the Council on Veterans and Business has helped us get there, but I think we need to continue that education and that training.
John Shorica is Associate Administrator of Government Contracting and Business Development at the Small Business Administration, speaking there with Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. Read more and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.